We have read earlier in this service from the scripture in 1 Kings and the chapter number 8. I want to bring a message this morning which I trust will be both appropriate and a blessing to all who hear from the words of verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 38. It says there, "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart." The plague of the heart. I want to speak today upon a disease that only God can deal with. A disease that only God can deal with. I noticed in one dictionary definition, a plague is defined as a contagious disease that spreads rapidly and kills many people. A virus is defined as an infective agent that typically consists of a nucleic acid molecule in a protein coat, which is too small to be seen by light microscopy and is able to multiply only within the living cells of a host. The subject on everyone's lips at the moment, obviously, is the coronavirus, or to give it its proper name, COVID-19. We have been told repeatedly that this is not something to be taken lightly by anyone, old or young, though it does appear to be most deadly in those who are elderly and for those with underlying medical conditions. With the virus, just to remind you, the most common symptoms are fever, cough, shortness of breath, and breathing difficulties. In the more severe cases, infection can cause pneumonia, severe acute respiratory syndrome, and even death. In countries, as we've been hearing, such as China, Italy, and Spain, COVID-19 has caused devastation in the population. And many thousands of people have died already of the coronavirus. It truly has all the hallmarks of a plague of biblical proportions. It's interesting that toward the close of our Lord's ministry in the New Testament, he spoke of certain things that would be prevalent in the last days. Among those calamities that he said would be a feature of those times were famines, earthquakes, and pestilences, or, if you like, diseases. And the last of those pestilences or plagues is certainly appropriate for today. There have been some killer diseases in history that have been conquered by scientific research and the medical profession. We think of smallpox, scarlet fever, tuberculosis, and cholera, among others. They were, in comparatively recent times, a common cause of death. But through medical research and the introduction of new drugs and vaccines and treatments, these diseases have been brought under control. But other great plagues have arisen in their place to threaten lives. A plague that has already taken thousands of lives and threatens to kill myriads of others is this coronavirus or COVID-19. You don't need me to tell you this morning, this is a serious matter. Despite what I consider to be the foolish and uninformed opinions of many about this, and not least on social media, the virus is not a hoax. It is not a media creation or something that is part of a vast conspiracy of governments to control or curtail our freedoms, as has been alleged, but a plague that is actually killing people by the hundreds, nay, thousands, each day. The recent and present experience of China, Italy and Spain are testament to what I've just said. And the question is, what can we do about it? Well, we can follow the best medical advice, we can take all necessary precautions, and most importantly, we can pray. May God in wrath remember mercy and preserve us. And may he get the attention of many who hitherto have had no time for God or his word. And yet, as our attention is fixed on this calamity, this pestilence that has so quickly arisen, there's something that all of us need to consider. And it's even worse than the coronavirus. It is a most serious disease. It's a terrible scourge. Spoken of here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 38, the plague of the heart. The Bible, of course, is referring there to sin. And sin, the Bible speaks of in a variety of ways. It's called the transgression of the law, the works of the flesh, the works or even the lusts of the devil, and filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Here in our text, it is called a plague. And it is a disease that only God can deal with. So let me point out the following from our text. First of all, we think of the plague revealed. There's the plague revealed. Sin is a dreadful disease. It's something that one of the Puritans called the plague of plagues. It was the great English preacher in London, England, C.H. Spurgeon, who said, "A plague in the body is not half so bad as a plague in the heart, a plague in the soul. Of all plagues, the plague of the heart is the sorest. And some of its most terrible features are given to us in Scripture. God has diagnosed this as an inherent plague." It is an inherent plague. Romans 5:12, it says that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that or in that all have sinned. In Psalm 51 verse 5, the psalmist tells us concerning himself, and it's true of us all, that I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, sin comes naturally to me because I was born in sin. And we talk about this coronavirus, it's something which people contract through contact with others who are infected. And that's something that you and I this morning are aware of. But when we talk about sin, this is something that we're born with. It's in our nature. And it is very soon manifested in our practice. When we enter this world, it's not long until the effects of this particular plague are seen in our lives. Psalm 58 verse 3 records, "The wicked are estranged from the womb." That means they're estranged from God. "They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now I know that you think that your children are little angels. They are the little fallen angels. They're not nearly so innocent as you think they are. Oh yes, they're cute. But the fact of the matter is they're born in sin, and that sinfulness is very soon manifested. Just as soon as a parent will say to a child, "Don't do that," what does the child do? Well, that's exactly what he does. Because sin is inherent within us. But it's not only an inherent plague, sin. It is an internal plague. The COVID-19 virus is so deadly, we're told, because it enters the body through the nose or mouth and it goes to the lungs. We're being told not to do something that's very difficult. Even those who are telling us not to do it are doing it as they're telling us. And that is touching your face. You try to go for a period of time without touching your face, your nose, your mouth. It's very, very difficult, and it's worse when you start thinking about it, because then you want to do it. But we're told that this virus enters the body, enters the lungs, because of going through the nose or the mouth. And it is, therefore, a plague that does its deadliest work on the inside. And so here we're looking at a plague that is a plague of the heart, a disease of the soul. It's on the inside of man. And that's what Christ himself taught. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 7, from verse 21. These are the words of Christ. These are not my words. These are the words of the Savior. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. There are 13 of them that Jesus mentions there. 13 in the Bible, if you check it out, is the number of rebellion and apostasy. Man is a rebel against God. And man's problem, therefore, is not merely what we can see on the outside. It's not our outward surroundings, friends, that constitutes our problem. It's the heart. The Bible tells us, way back in Genesis chapter 6, just prior to the flood, and it repeats it again in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. We have a problem on the inside, and this is the problem with many today. They think that religion or outward forms and ceremonies like baptism or going to communion or some other church activity can deal with the problem of sin. The reality is that man needs a radical work done on the inside. The Lord Jesus said that in Matthew 23, there are those who clean up the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside the cup, there's all manner of filthiness. Now, I wouldn't think too much of my wife if she were to bring my coffee to me in the morning with a nice clean cup on the outside. I look inside and it's full of scum. That's what God sees when he looks at mankind. We are full of sin. And it affects every part of our being. Man's sin, the plague of the heart, affects his desires, his affections, his understanding, and his will. It's described well by the prophet Isaiah when he said, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. This virus today that we're so concentrated upon, it requires a lot of work to be done on patients internally. Intubation of the lungs, help with breathing and so on. And that's the way sin is. It is a problem that we have on the inside. As well as being an internal plague, it is an infectious plague. And how that has been emphasized in the present crisis. We know all about social distancing, being 6 feet apart if you have to be near someone, wash your hands, etc., etc. Why? Because COVID-19 is very, very contagious. It's far more easily spread and contracted than any of us would ever have imagined. This thing has spread like wildfire. It is infectious. And we've been learning lately that the present virus affects all ages and social conditions. Nobody seems to be immune to it. I just heard yesterday of two fairly young pastors in churches in Northern Ireland, they're both far younger than I am, probably could be my sons, who are now on respirators in hospital being treated for the coronavirus. Let us not think that it can't get us. Well, so it is with the disease of sin. In the passage that we've been reading from, in 1 Kings chapter 8, it tells us there in verse number 46, something that's really important. Verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. There is no man that sinneth not. No one is immune to the disease of sin. One of the problems with people is to try to convince them that they are sinners. You know, it's always the guy down the street who's bad to his family, beats his wife, bad to his children, he's a sinner. Or the guy who comes home every night drunk, he's a sinner. Or the guy who's on narcotics. Or the fellow who's languishing in prison, he's a sinner. Or some other person. It's always somebody else. But I want to tell you that all have sinned. And all continually come short of the glory of God. There was a preacher in past centuries, actually in the 18th century, called John Gill. And he said something I was reading that seemed very appropriate to this time. He said, there are diseases in a natural sense which are called epidemical, which when they come into a village, a town or a country, go through them. But then, be they as epidemical or universal as they may, there are always some that escape. But in this case, there is not one, no, not one of Adam's race. There has not been one of Adam's posterity that has escaped this disease, except the man Christ Jesus, who descended not from him by ordinary generation. Otherwise, all mankind have been infected with this plague, this pestilential disease, sin. It therefore affects all of us today. And in the same vein, speaking of great plagues in his day in England in the 1760s, John Gill said the following: the plague is a distemper which you all know is very threatening, wasting and destroying, and exceeding shocking and distressing. It is called the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and the destruction that wasteth at noonday, Psalm 91 verse 6. Whenever we hear of the plague breaking out in any of the countries abroad to which our ships trade, we're always alarmed, lest they should, with the goods brought from thence, bring that dreadful distemper along with them. And all proper caution is taken to prevent it. Whenever we hear of it nearer our borders, in a neighbouring country, what an alarm does it give us. About 40 years ago, and this was preached in September 19, 1762, some of you may remember, it broke forth in Marseille in France. What a consternation were the inhabitants of this city in. How many meetings for prayer were set up and held for some time. But there is a plague nearer than this. It is in the heart of every man, and yet little or no notice is taken of it. A plague of more fatal consequences than a temporal disease is. The latter, the temporal disease, only destroys the body. But this destroys the soul to all eternity, unless it is cured by the grace of God and the blood of Christ. It is the plague of the heart, and we carry it about with us. And then, friends, we may refer to the fact that sin is an incurable disease. Now, the coronavirus does kill a lot of people, that there is no doubt. But we're assured that most who suffer from it, most who contract it, make a full recovery. It does not always result in death, thank God. But not so with this plague of the heart, sin. It's very interesting to me that the word for plague that's used here in 1 Kings 8 is the same word employed of leprosy in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And leprosy was a very infectious disease. It brought about separation from the people of God and from the privileges of his house. The sufferers had to be strictly quarantined. Every leper had to stay at a great distance from the population. We're familiar with that now with this coronavirus. The leper had to place a covering on the top of his lip. And everywhere he went, he had to cry unclean as he came within earshot of others. Leprosy was so terrible because it was beyond the power of man to treat it or cure it. When you had leprosy in biblical days, it was like a death sentence. Except when the mercy of God intervened and the leper was healed, as the Lord Jesus has proved. But friends, sin can't be cured by man or by the efforts of man. Jeremiah 17:9 assures us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That word desperately there means incurably. The heart is incurably wicked. That means we can't cure this ourselves. And again, in the very same book of Jeremiah, it talks about the way that men are unable to change themselves. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Then may ye that are accustomed to do evil be able to change. It can't happen. Sin results then inevitably in death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It destroys the soul. It brings the soul down to hell and damnation. That's the bad news that God gives us about this plague. There's the plague revealed. There's the plague recognized. Now, one of the saddest things for me in this present situation and crisis is that many have the disease coronavirus and they don't know it. They don't know it until it begins to break forth with symptoms. And of course, not knowing it, many of them are spreading it to others who also don't know. Now, if you know that you have it, you can begin to seek help for it and take the medical advice and the necessary treatment. But here in Scripture, it talks about every man who knows the plague of his own heart. See that? Every man that knoweth, every one that shall know the plague of his own heart. This is so vital. It can be tragic when someone has a disease, but they don't know it. It certainly applies to human sin. The Bible tells us, God tells us, that all men are sinners, but most have never recognized it or faced up to the reality of it, and many vehemently deny it. But God has recognized our sin. We learn that even in the context here in verse 39, because the words just prior to this, every man whose heart thou knowest, and then it says, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. The Lord recognizes who you are, what you are, and what your position is spiritually. God doesn't just see the outward. He doesn't just see the veneer. You can put on a show. There are people who actually attend churches, and to everyone else, they're the greatest Christian going. Oh, they think that this person is a holy person. This person is a really saintly character. But if you knew the reality, it's very different. There are hypocrites among the people of God. The Bible tells us this. You don't need some sinful person to remind you of it. Yes, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the world, even in the ministry. But look, God doesn't just see the outside. God sees right into our wicked hearts. He sees us as wretched and vile. But is that how we see ourselves this morning? Is that how you see yourself? As a sinner? As vile? As wretched? In the sight of a holy God? Solomon here refers to everyone who sees, who knows the plague of his own heart. He sees it. He knows it. He admits his guilt. He sees and he feels the need for cleansing and forgiveness. He sees that he needs rid of his sin. You know, people are not going to visit the doctor to find out what's wrong with them if they don't think anything's wrong with them. Isn't that what the Lord said? They're not going to seek for a cure from a physician, from a doctor, for a disease that they don't think that they have. The Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. They that be whole, that means physically whole, physically well, need not a physician, but they that are sick. You seek the help of the doctor when you know that you're not well. But there are people who do not recognize the plague of their heart. And I want to tell you that before you can ever be saved, you will need to face up to your personal sin against a holy God, just as the psalmist did. He said in Psalm 51, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Even the bad things that David did against other people, against Bathsheba, his lover, against her husband who he had murdered, against the people of Israel that he was a bad testimony to. Yet he doesn't speak about that. He says to the Lord, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. See, there's a man who recognizes the plague of his heart. And then in Psalm 32, we have the very same psalmist in verse number 5 saying this, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You know, before you can be saved, you'll need to recognize the plague of your heart. Remember what the patriarch Job said. It's really interesting to me this, because at the beginning of Job, the Holy Spirit refers to Job as an upright man, one who feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. And yet, Job himself said in Job chapter 40 and verse number 4, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. I'm speechless before a holy God. I am a terrible sinner. He recognized the plague of his heart. There's a beautiful story in the New Testament of a young man, we call him the prodigal. He left his father's house, went into the far country and wasted his inheritance with riotous living, spent it on harlots and on all kinds of revelry. He came to himself. He wakened up. He wised up. He was brought to his senses. But when he came to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. There's someone who is a picture of the sinner who recognizes the plague of his heart. But as well as the plague revealed and the plague recognized, I want to say finally that there's the plague removed. The plague removed. I'm not alone this morning in praying and wishing that this awful virus would go away just as quickly as it came. I want to see the coronavirus brought under control I don't want to get it. I don't want my wife and children and grandchildren to get it. I don't want my friends, my church members to get it. And I don't want anyone to get it. I am not only to take care of myself, but my neighbor. And that's why we're having what you might call virtual church today. This is not my first choice, but I believe it's the right choice, because the Lord has told us in His Word and our confession that is undergirding the position of our church also teaches the same thing, that I am to regard my own life and try to preserve my own life and the life of my neighbor. I will do that by following medical advice and the advice of the authorities right now. It's only a temporary measure. It's not going to be forever, but it is for the good of us all. And we understand that. We don't want this virus to continue on. I don't know how long it will, but I'm looking for the day, and I know you are, when life returns to normal. And may God give us all wisdom in seeking to rid our nations of it. And what's encouraging is that men have been given by God the ingenuity, the ability in the past to seek and to find solutions for infectious diseases and plagues. They're things, as I've said earlier, that are no longer a threat to us, but they once were life-threatening maladies. However, when we speak of the plague of the heart, we recognize that no human effort can combat it or overcome it. Yet we can rejoice that Christ is the answer. Jeremiah asked the questions, is there no balm in Gilead, a healing ointment, a healing balm? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there not a doctor? The answer, of course, is spiritually, yes, there is a balm. And there is a physician, the great physician. His name is Jesus. John the Baptist was preaching one day to a crowd of people in the open air, and he saw Christ coming, and he pointed toward him and said to the people, behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They knew what he meant. Here's the sacrifice for sin. Here's the one who will give his life a ransom for many, that they might have their sins taken away. And my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse number 26 that once in the end of the world, the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ can heal, Christ can cure the plague of the heart. Maybe some of you are afraid of dying. There's something that you ought to be more afraid of than dying, and it is the second death. It is to die without Christ and to go out into a lost eternity. That is a fearful thing, even to contemplate. I don't even like to think about it in relation to those I know who are not the Lord's. But it's a reality. But listen, Christ has the cure for sin. By His stripes we are healed, spiritually, healed from our sins. There is forgiveness of sin through Christ alone. And the text that I'm using actually employs that word in verse 38. Forgive. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, as by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, verse 39, and forgive. And forgive. The Hebrew word for forgive has the literal sense and meaning of to send away. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that God can actually send your sins away? That's what he does for those who believe on Christ. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. In Psalm 103, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's forgiveness. And it's freely available to all who will come to him through Christ. Ephesians 1:7 records that through Christ, through him, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There is a cure for the sin malady today. This is a disease that only God can deal with, and he can deal with it. Psalm 41 and verse 4 records, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Let me say in closing, if you don't know the Lord this morning, will you pray that prayer? Will you say, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, take away the plague of my heart, for I have sinned against thee. And thank God, I can assure you there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to wash us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that the Lord would do that for souls today. Amen.